Glad I'm here tonight. So much going on. Says we were made for adversity. It looks like we're totally in adversity all the time.
Amen.
Lucian, we have a little bit of a rain, or else I'm going to have to whisper. That's that. Okay. Y'all good? Y'all here? John chapter 6. This is very familiar to all of y'all, so I'm not going to tell you anything that y'all don't know. That way we can move on. In fact, we may move on after the services and move on. Who knows? But I'm in John chapter 6. And Jesus has just fed the 5,000 folks. He's just given them the bread. He's just blessed them after they'd been in the woods and they're preaching to them for a few days. And at the end of that, he gets in verse 26 and he says, Jesus said to them, because they came to him hunting after him, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because we saw the miracles, but because we did eat of the loaves and were filled. In other words, these people weren't looking for Jesus as God. They weren't looking at him as the Savior. They weren't looking at him as the one who could do all the miracles. But they said, we ate good, didn't we? And our bellies were filled. And they were looking at Jesus more or less like a food service instead of a Savior service. And so he says, you didn't come after me. You didn't come looking after me because of the miracles. You didn't come after me because I'm the Son of God. You came after me because I fed you. That's the only reason you came. He says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. In other words, he says, don't count on all this perishable stuff. It's good stuff, the food, the groceries, the maters, the taters, and all that stuff. That's good stuff. But when you eat that stuff after you get it ate, it goes out the drawer. It's done. He says, look for the food that doesn't perish. Look for the one that lasts forever. Look for the one who can give you eternal life. He says, you're looking and laboring for stuff in this world. You need to be looking for the one who can give you eternal life. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And his answer is I love his answer. And Jesus said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. In other words, in this flesh, there's not a single thing I can do as the work of God. In this flesh, I cannot come to God and say, look at me, I am something. Look at me, I have done something. I have done the right thing, or I've done this mountain thing, or this high thing, or this high thing. He says, the work of God is to believe in God. The work of God is to believe that he is God, and that he is the rewarder of them who believe that he's God. The work of God is to put your faith and trust in God, not in some physical thing that we can go out and do to prove to God that we believe in him or trust in him. He says, the work of God is this, that ye believe on him whom he has sent, which is Jesus Christ. The work of God is to believe that God the Father exists and that God the Son was sent. God the Son is the one who will die for you. God the Son is the one who shed his blood for you. God the Son is the one who came to take away your sins, if you would believe that. He says, God the Father has sent him, and he sent him for a purpose. They said, therefore, unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? And he'd already been doing miracles. He'd already done all kinds. He'd done healed people. He'd done raised people, blind people. He'd done took people that were crippled and healed them. He had also fed 5,000 people with a few loaves and a few fishes. And they said, what work can you do? I said, wait a minute. Were y'all brain dead just a while ago? You were hunting down because he fed you right out in the middle of the wilderness. He fed everybody. And you were sitting right there eating of this food, getting filled with this food. You were right amongst it. And yet you still refuse to see the picture. That's how we all are. Without Jesus Christ, without the Holy Spirit of God moving on us, we'll eat the food. We'll enjoy the goodness of God. We'll enjoy the goodness of this world. We'll enjoy everything that's going on, and we'll still walk past God and say, "What work will you do to prove yourself to me, Lord?"
Amen.
We'll say, "God, what are you going to do?" He says, "What signs showest thou then that we may see and believe thee?" That's a hard-headed bunch. And I'm sure that all through my life, God showed me thing after thing after thing. And if I took down and wrote them all down, it would be enough stuff to say, "Why didn't you get it? Why didn't you get it?" But until the Holy Spirit woke me up to it, I didn't get it. He says, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." In other words, he said, that bread was not the true bread. That bread was a life-sustaining bread. That bread would get you through 40 years in the desert. That bread would take care of your human needs, but that was not the bread of life. That wasn't the one who came and gave life to everything that exists. That wasn't the one when he spoke, he created everything and made everything was made for him and by him and was not anything made that was made that he did not make. It says here, Jesus says, the true bread, for the bread of God is which cometh down from heaven and giveth life to the world. The true bread is the one who spoke it on into existence. The true bread is the one that God sent his Son to take the sins of sinful men. The one God sent who, if you believed on him, he would deliver you. If you repent of your sins and believe on him, he would take your sins away. The true bread is the one that can give you eternal life and not just physical day after day after day life. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. In other words, it's kind of like the lady at the well. Give me this bread. We want it. Or at least it sounds like they want it. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. In other words, he says, here I am. I am the bread of life. I am the one that came down from the Father. I am the one, if you eat of me, you will never hunger. You will never thirst. I am the one that can give you peace. I am the one that can give you joy. I am the one that can take your pains and sufferings away. He said, I am he. But I say unto you that ye have seen me and believe not. He says, that you want me, but yet you don't want me as I really am. You want me as a cupboard full of food. You want me as someone to pay your paycheck. You want me as someone to lead you in a worldly regime. You want me to be the king over you and make sure all your worldly needs and everything's met. I didn't come here to meet your worldly needs. I came here to give you eternal life. I came here to give you salvation. I came here to give you the bread of life that goes forever and ever and ever. He says, but I say unto you, ye have seen me. Oh, they saw so much more than we have seen. You have seen me and believe not. They actually sat in the wilderness with him and listened to him preach for days. They actually saw him take the bread and bless it and give to the disciples. They actually saw him take the fish and break them and give to the disciples. And then they went from place to place to place in the group and fed 5,000 people plus the children and plus the women. There could have been as many as 15,000 plus people right there. He fed them all and every one of them were full and they still took up some bread and some fish. They could not exhaust the grace of God. They could not take up what God gave and outdo it. He says, but I say to you, you seen me and you believe not. Then he says something really that sticks them. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. All that the Father giveth me will come to me. I don't know who all those alls are. I certainly don't want to be a hindrance to any of those alls. But I want all the alls to know that if you come to him, If you come to Him believing that He is the Son of God, if you come to Him believing that He died for your sins, if you come to Him believing that He can take away your sin debt through repentance and faith in Him, if you come to Him, He's God of gods. He's the King of kings. He says, I will in no wise cast you out. He didn't say when you clean up your act, I won't cast you out. He says, if you just come to Me believing, if you just come to Me hungering and thirsting, if you just come to Me in need of eternal life, tired of this world, tired of this life, He says, I will in no wise cast you out. For I came not from heaven, for I came down from heaven, excuse me, I came down from heaven not to do Mine own will, but the will of Him that sent Me. In other words, I came here specifically to do what the Father required Me to do. That was to live a perfect life. That was to live a sinless life. That was to live a life of pain and sorrow and mistreatment and everything else that the world looked down on Him, despised Him. He didn't come in here in royalty. He didn't come in here with pomp and circumstances. He came down here in the lowliness of lowliness. And the people rejected Him. He came down here that He would be the Savior of all who would believe. He came down here to die on an old rugged cross. He came down here to be in a grave and suffer the wrath of God for three days and three nights. He came down here to whip death and to rise again on the third day. He came down here to do the will of His Father, and that's exactly what He did. He did not come down here to give us creature comfort. People say, well, why don't He come help us all now? Because that's not what He came to do. He came to save the souls of all those He died for. He came to pay the price that God required for all those who would be in Christ Jesus. God the Father set some folks in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, and He says, it will cost you your life. And He says, I'll give it. I'll give it. No regrets. I will give it. It says here, He came down from heaven to not to do His own will, but to do the will of Him that sent Me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent Me, that all which He hath given Me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last days. He says, all that the Father gave Me, all before the foundation of the world, all when they were working all this out in history, in eternity back yonder, everything that Jesus was given by the Father, every single soul that was going to be Jesus's in Christ, He says, and this is the will of Him that sent Me, that of all which He hath given Me, I should lose nothing. In other words, not one single soul. These people say, well, you can jump out, or you can be stubborn enough not to be saved, or whatever. And I'm saying, when He calls you with that effectual call, He'll break your stubbornness, because He'll use sense that you ain't never used before. He'll use wording that you ain't never heard before. He'll touch you right here in your heart like you ain't never been touched before. And you'll say, oh God, save me and save me now. Don't wait around. Get me now. I need to be saved. It says here, nothing would be... He'll raise them up on the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent Me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Everyone who's looking to the Son, everyone that believes in the Son, everyone that's put their faith and trust in the work of the Son, that He has fulfilled everything that God required. He has fulfilled everything that God has set Him to do. Now, I don't understand all that. And it doesn't say that a believer has to understand all that to get saved. But it says as we grow, we should come to those things. But it says here, and this is the will of Him that sent Me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him. Not just to see Him, but you must believe. These guys saw Him. These guys ate with Him, but they did not believe in Him. He said, this is the will of the Father, that if you see the Son and believe the Son on Him, may have everlasting life. And I will raise Him up in the last day. I may die. You guys may die. But we have a promise from the Father that all who have seen the Son and believe the Son, when even though we were dead, He's going to raise us back up. It says, then the Jews then murmured at Him because He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. They were looking for an earthly king. They were looking for worldly pleasures. They were looking for creature comforts. And He says, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. And they murmured at that because to do that, they might have to give up some of their stuff to worship Him. They might have to give up some of their pleasures to worship Him. And they said, is not this the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He said, I came down from heaven? How is it that He says, I came down from heaven? Because they should have understood by the Scriptures that He was going to be born of a virgin, but having a father called Joseph, that kind of messed them up, because in their mind, Joseph was actually his father. But in our mind, and we know better, that Joseph was just his stepdaddy. Joseph was just the guy that led him and raised him and all that, all through his life, that took care of him up until the time that he went to the synagogue and all those things. Joseph was not his father. His father was the Holy Spirit of God. The Father was God Himself. It says here, do we not know this is not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that He said He came down from heaven? They were looking at worldly things. The same way that it says that us, if we look at things through eyes of this world, we cannot see things and please God with the Spirit. They were not looking for a Savior from heaven. They were looking for a King on earth. They weren't looking for someone who came down from heaven. They were looking for someone who came along in the earth and was going to be a king and lead them and guide them and take care of them. They said, how could this guy, how could this man be the one that came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. In other words, all your murmuring ain't going to fix your problem. All your murmuring and trying to ask questions in the flesh is not going to fix your problems. And we can take this all the way back to the first book of John. Our third book of John says, you must be born again. All that murmuring and complaining and asking questions, if you're not born again, won't fix your problems. It says here, murmur not amongst yourself. No man, and this is what gets a lot of people upset with our Bible, says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Bible says, not some men can figure it out. Not some men might work it out. The Bible says, no man can come unless the Father draw him. No man of his own free will will ever come to God without God having first done something to him. Without God having first cast the line, set the hook, and is drawing him into the mercies of God. Unless God, he said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. So, the Father puts these people in Christ before the foundation of the world. And then at the appropriate time, the Father starts drawing these people out, pricking their hearts with the Holy Spirit. The Father starts dealing with them in their sins. The Father starts dealing with them in the ways they're going. And the Father one day says, today's the day, Holy Spirit, quicken that old boy or girl, whoever it may be, and save them in their place where they're at. He says, except the Father which sent me draw him out, and I will raise him in the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. That's the secret of that being drawn by the Father. It's great that we preach and teach and all that. And we preach the Word of God. We preach the Gospel of God. We preach the Gospel of Jesus Christ. But without the Holy Spirit to do the work that needs to be done, all men would hear it and they would all dismiss it. Oh, they might try to be religious. They might try to do some good works here and there. But as far as going to heaven, as far as bowing down and worshiping the King of Kings, they would all be false religions. They would all be false preachers and teachers. It says here, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. In other words, not only does he draw you, but he opens your eyes to the truth of Jesus Christ. He opens your eyes to the fact that you need to bow down and praise him. The fact that you're a sinner and you need to repent of your sins. He teaches you just what you are, that you'll know who Christ is. It says here, every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father. In other words, a man to be born again, a woman to be born again, he hears the words of God himself. It may have been a preacher. It may have been somebody giving you a tract. It may have been some Sunday school teacher somewhere. But when you heard it, you heard the Word of God. And that Word of God, the Holy Spirit quickens you with. The Holy Spirit opened your heart and eyes to it. And He saved you right there, causing faith and repentance to take place. It says here, not that any man has seen the Father. And we know that's not going to happen. He doesn't get seen. In fact, when Moses wanted to see the Father, Moses said, the Father told him, you can't see me. I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock, and when I walk by you, I'll put my hand over you, and I'll let you see my hinder parts. No man has seen the Father in the fronter parts except Jesus Christ. He says, not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Jesus Christ himself has seen the Father. Jesus Christ himself is the only walking man who's ever seen the Father face to face like that, in all of his glory and all of his power. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Promise after promise about eternal life. Promise after promise about if you believe in the Son, you have eternal life. Promise after promise that these people, I don't understand them, say, well, I'm back out of church again. I'm back out of this again. I'll have to repent and go back and get back into church and get saved again or whatever. They misunderstand this totally, because it says, if you've been saved one time, if you've been saved by being born again by God one time, you are saved forever, all the time. It says here, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Hath everlasting life. I'm not going to get it when I die. I'm not going to get it when I go to heaven. I'm not going to get it sometime later in the future. The very moment he made me believe, I have eternal life. I am more alive than I ever was at that moment. Back then, I was, believe it or not, we talked about that other day, I was dead in trespasses and sin. I was spiritually totally dead, helpless, without anything to hold me up. But in Christ, I'm totally alive. I have everlasting life. See, I am the bread of life. Again, he says, I am the bread. Eat of me, drink of me, feel of me, touch me, put your hands in my side. Here I am. I am the true bread. I am the everlasting life. I am the water in the well. He says, of all of these things, I'm the truth and the light. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness. And he said, and they are dead. He didn't say they got eternal life from what they ate. He said, they ate in the wilderness and they're dead. We know that there was a lot of those folks that came across who displeased God, who died in the desert because they refused to do what they were told to do because of unbelief. And if they're in unbelief, then they can't be saved. Unbelief. It says, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which came down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. In other words, I'm not like that stuff that fell on the ground every morning. You had to go pick it up and put it in your pot and just get so much for supper, so much for dinner, so much for breakfast. I'm not that bread. That bread just took care of your stomachs. That bread just took care of your daily needs. I'm talking about I can take care of your daily needs and your eternal life. I can take care of your daily needs and forevermore needs. He says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The bread he gave, the sacrifice that he made on that cross, he gave up his flesh. He gave up his body. He gave up his blood for all those who would believe on him. He gave it all. He redeemed not only us, but he redeemed this world. He redeemed the things that he planned on redeeming. Everything that's redeemable, he redeemed to himself on that cross. He did a lot of that thing that most people don't ever talk about. He did a lot on that cross. It says, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And he's not talking about cannibalism. Even though we do the Lord's Supper, say this bread represents his body, and this wine represents his blood. We're not talking about literally eating his arm and literally drinking his blood. We're talking about his blood was given for our lives. His body was given for our benefit. His body was given for us to have everlasting life by. He gave up his humanness on that cross. He gave up his body, soul, spirit there on that cross for our redemption, for our salvation, to please the Father. He paid so much that even I can't explain it, and most people can't get to the depths of it. And when we get to heaven, I don't know if we'll be worried about it because we'll be so glad to be with him. I don't know if we're going to want to bring all that back up. But if we do, he's going to tell us so much more about what we don't know than it's going to be amazing. It says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. In other words, unless you accept what he's done, unless you accept the sacrifice that he's given, unless you accept him as the Son of God, as the one who came to give himself to God for the souls of men, if you accept him, unless you eat of his flesh, drink of his blood, you have no life in you. That was a stumbling block for a lot of people. In fact, Christians were called cannibal religion there at the beginning by a lot of people, because they eat his flesh and they drink his blood. They misunderstood totally what the Lord's Supper was about and all the sacrifice was about. They even wanted to put bad words on us saying we were cannibals. They misunderstood exactly what Jesus was talking about there. It says, whoso eateth of my flesh and drinketh of my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth of my flesh and drinketh of my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Everyone that participates with Christ in his suffering, with Christ in his being and doing, has been given the ability to, he dwells in us. He comes and sups with us. He comes and takes part in us. His spirit is in us. He says, and this bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. He's trying to say, I'm not the bread that you chew up and swallow. I am the bread of life. I am the staff of life. I am the field of life. I am everlasting. I am life. I'm talking about Christ himself. He's life. Everything else perishes. Everything else dies. Everything else falls away. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. So we see here that Jesus Christ, after he fed the 5,000, after he dealt with the 5,000 and they came to him, and he says, you come to me because you ate. You come to me because your belly's got full. You come to me because maybe I bought you a color TV set or a boat or whatever. You come to me for the worldly stuff, but you won't believe me that I'm the Son of God. You won't believe me. You've seen the miracles. You've seen people bones get fixed. You've seen lepers be healed. You've seen the blind get fixed. You've seen all kinds of things go on. And yet you're going to say, what kind of sign will you give me that we might believe? What kind of work can we do to do the work of God? And Jesus Christ, plain, simple, poured it out. To do the work of God, you must believe in the Son of God. That's our work, to believe in the Son of God. Now, I know we're supposed to do a whole lot of other things besides that, but salvation is believing in Jesus Christ. Growing is learning all about Jesus Christ. If you can't grow until you believe. You can't truly grow. I'm putting it like that. You can't truly grow. You can know a lot of things about Christ mentally, but until you're saved, it doesn't become heartly, if that's a word. It doesn't penetrate into the depths of your being and your soul. He says, I fed those folks. I fed you. And even after you did all that, you refused to believe. And then he actually turned around and says, and I can tell you why you refused to believe. Because you were never called out to believe it. Now, I ain't saying some of these people didn't get believed, saved later. I'm saying saved later by God, not because they just kept seeing more things happen. We don't know how many of these people got saved later. We don't know how many people that saw Jesus on the cross that walked by wagging and shaking their head like it talks about, spitting and cussing and fussing. We don't know how many of them later repented and says, truly, like that soldier did, truly this is the Son of God. We don't know how many that were right there. We know that very shortly after the church got started, after he was resurrected up and went on up into heaven, it was very shortly after that there were 500 and a church got saved. It's very shortly after that there were 3,000 added to the church daily as God saw fit to add to them. After that, for the next 20, 30 years, God was multiplying the church like this. Boy, wouldn't that be something if he was doing that right now? We could pack this place out and build another one beside it. Or we just put this away and build a big one. What I'm saying is, God is still in the saving business. But you must believe in the Son. You must believe in the bread of life, the one who gives eternal life. Not in some pie in the sky thing. Most people's God nowadays is a pie in the sky. They pray for stuff. I pray for stuff still. Not the way I used to, though. But most of the world out there, they just pray for stuff. Stuff. Bigger houses, bigger cars, bigger stuff. And you hit the point, we got stuff. We can share some stuff. It's a little bit short tonight, but I hope the Lord blessed you with that. It blessed me. The fact that Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is eternal life. Brother Joy, would you dismiss us, please?